Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
Welcome, listener. I'm glad you're here. Take a seat next to the fire.
Welcome to Obscura, where we shine a light on the dark.
December 17th, 2015, around 4 a.m., firefighters responded to a house fire on Sumac Street in Moncton, New Brunswick, Canada.
The largest rail center east of Montreal, Moncton is often referred to as the hub of the Maritimes. As the second largest center in New Brunswick, the city's role today also takes in culture and communications, something inherited from its storied past, a past that at one point almost wasn't. When we look at it today, Moncton's history, like a metaphor, is played out against the daily tidal currents of the river that gave it its beginnings. This is the tale of a Renaissance city. This is the Greater Moncton region in New Brunswick.
Once there, they found the body of a man in the house and contacted police. These charred remains, so damaged from burns and stab wounds, the victim's mother would run screaming from a courtroom at the first sight of the autopsy photos, 3 years later. That is to say, it was a grisly death, one that no mother would hope for their child. Police quickly identified the body as that of 18-year-old Bailey Wiley. Before he was marked with cuts, stabs, and burns, every photo of Bailey that exists online shows an 18-year-old with brown hair, a goofy smile, dark brown eyes, and the world ahead of him. All of that is gone now. On December 21st, 2015, an arrest was made in the murder of Bailey Wiley. Police responded to an address in Moncton, New Brunswick, and forced the door open. They found the suspect, Devin Morningstar, in bed. Other persons of interest, Marissa Shepherd and Tyler Noel, could not be found. The young Devin Morningstar is frequently pictured online wearing a backwards ball cap. He has brown hair and brown eyes. Morningstar later told a constable, after he had been placed under arrest, "I understand why you guys are after me. I was going to come forward." He then said, "I'm glad you guys came and got me. I was ready to kill myself." He would later go on to say about the arrest, "Out of all the places to hide, I go under a blanket." The events that led up to the murder of Bailey Wiley began a few nights earlier, when Morningstar first met Marissa Shepherd and Bailey Wiley through his friend Tyler Noel. Marissa Shepherd has curly brown hair, sometimes with blonde highlights, narrow facial features, a smattering of tattoos. She wears jeans, long-sleeved shirts, and hoop earrings. Tyler Noel sports a goatee without mustache, has a muscular build, an arm tattoo featuring a clown in the act of robbery, and brown hair with brown eyes. Morningstar said it was love at first sight when he met Shepherd. Morningstar's girlfriend had just broken up with him. He said the first night he met her, he slept with Shepherd and was proud he was winning her attention, although he realized she and Bailey were a couple. Morningstar told police that the next morning, he and Shepherd found out that Wiley and Noel had a sexual encounter, which Noel emphatically denied. Bailey had pictures, though, which angered Noel. Noel claimed he was passed out when these supposed events took place. The foursome smoked crack that day, and this made it difficult to keep the timeline of events in order. The city of Moncton has been suffering from a drug epidemic with no signs of slowing down. As of 2023, 10 overdoses were reported a day, and the death rate has doubled since 2017.
I just picked up and I used, and I went from feeling terrible, irritable, anxious, frustrated, to normal, blissful, happy. I really hope I can find something in life that makes me feel this good. My dopamine's running at like 700%. I'm content with everything in my life right now.
Morningstar said later, Shepard invited him upstairs to take a shower, which angered Noel. He told the RCMP in his interview that Noel was steaming mad. Later that day, Bailey allegedly told Noel that he also had sex with Morningstar, which Morningstar denied. He believed Bailey was only trying to cast aspersions about Noel and Morningstar to win Shepard back. Bailey wanted the other two men to leave and made threats to call the police, to report them for selling drugs and for Noel having a rifle in the unit. Shepard and Noel came up with a plan to intimidate Bailey for threatening to snitch on them. Cornering him, Noel beat Wiley with his fists, although this escalated and Noel hit Bailey in the head with the rifle. Morningstar held Bailey while the others placed plastic wrap over his head, wrapping it around his face and leaving a small hole for him to breathe through. Noel then inserted the barrel of a rifle in Bailey's mouth through the plastic hole. He wanted to prove his point about what would happen to him if he went to the police. Shepard hit Bailey over the head with a glass bong, causing Bailey to bleed once it shattered. A neighbor in an adjoining unit heard a male angrily tell someone that if anyone asked what happened, tell them you fell down some stairs, and told someone to repeat that over and over. The neighbor heard another voice repeat this several times until the first voice was apparently satisfied. Shepard later testified that she left at this point to meet with two clients. She worked as an escort and had received two separate texts, so, according to her, she was not present during the stabbings. Canada, like anywhere else in the world, is no stranger to sex trafficking. In the past 10 years, over 4,500 incidents of human trafficking have been reported to police services in Canada. 23% of victims of police-reported human trafficking were aged 17 and younger, 42% between 18 and 24. The majority aren't aware that they've been trafficked, as they've been groomed into the role. Over 90% will go on to state that they regret their past, and 68% will develop PTSD.
You've gotten the statement from them? From the girl?
Yeah.
Okay. These girls are basically the girl next door. That's what they are. They're girls, you know, they could be your daughter. They can be your niece, your granddaughter. They come from all walks of life, not just marginalized areas where we do have victims, but they come from, you know, parents who are lawyers, doctors, police officers. So it doesn't discriminate at all. A girl who says on her Facebook account, "Oh, I'm not feeling so pretty today." They take advantage of that, you know. They'll say, "Hey, I wish you were my girlfriend. I think you look fine." And that's how it starts. That process, that luring and grooming process, where they exchange telephone numbers now, and then they meet and they start talking, and they start becoming, you know, boyfriend and girlfriend type of relationship, right? Where he starts showering gifts on the girl, right? And then all of a sudden, she's hooked. It doesn't take very long, you know. That process usually takes 2-3 days.
Shepard stated she returned home to find Bailey shirtless, smoking a bong, and smoke pouring from a wound that punctured his lung. According to Morningstar, however, she was not only present the rest of the evening, she was involved. To support Morningstar's claims, Shepard did not provide names, times, locations, or cell phone calls or texts for where she supposedly went to visit. Morningstar said after they beat Bailey, they all went upstairs and did more drugs, even Bailey. After a while, Noel pulled Morningstar aside and said, "This kid can't leave the house. The second he leaves the house, he's gonna run his mouth about what I just did. He can't leave the house. Noel had another plan, which involved Morningstar and weed. Morningstar told the police in his interview that Noel wanted him to go to Bailey and accuse him of taking his weed, and then for Morningstar to beat him up. Morningstar was not sure what good this was going to do and told Noel that Bailey had a big mouth, so he was going to just talk no matter what. Noel, our shepherd, said, "Well, we'll have to kill him or something." Morningstar asserted it was not his plan, but that one of the two of them had decided he was not going to walk out of there alive. Morningstar walked back into the basement, but because he was high on numerous drugs, he forgot about the plan. So Shepard reminded him. He told law enforcement that he felt completely manipulated by then, but that if he did not do it, he would lose Shepard, who he really liked, and he loved her son Cole. He was also scared of Noel, and part of him was afraid if he did not go along with it, he would be next after Bailey. After Morningstar recalled the plan and made the decision to go along with it, he struck Bailey on the head with a shower curtain with a heavy metal ball on the end. After that, the trio wrestled Bailey to the floor, and Morningstar held Bailey down by the arms and legs as the other two ferociously stabbed Bailey multiple times. Morningstar said Shepard and Noel stabbed Bailey at least 100 times. He said he thought Noel stabbed Bailey the most, about 75 times, and that Shepard stabbed him about 25 times. She also picked up a broken mirror and stabbed Bailey with it. Morningstar was stabbed in the hand during the frenzy, then was handed the knife by Noel and told to stab Bailey too. Morningstar admitted to trying to stab Bailey in the neck, but the first attempt did not penetrate. He attempted three times and finally penetrated Bailey's neck. Also, Morningstar is right-handed and was told to stab him on the left side. It was at this point when Morningstar admitted he felt threatened himself, and he told police if he did not stab Bailey, then he would have been killed himself. He said, quote, "I did help. I was holding him down. And then after a while, like he really got kind of like at this point." Have you heard of Mood.com? They sell federally legal weed gummies. Everything you'd expect from a dispensary, and shipping is right to your door. Zero pants required. I'm serious. You can now get high-quality, 100% federally legal cannabis products delivered right to your door without ever leaving your couch. And you can get $30 off your first order at mood.com/obscura with promo code OBSCURA to bring you amazing, high-potency THC gummies, home-baked cookies, top-shelf flower, vapes, and more. All third-party lab-tested and backed by a 100-day guarantee. No dispensary lines, just clean, quality, 100% federally legal THC from their farms to your couch. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get $30 off their first order with code OBSCURA. So head to mood.com/obscura, check out their online dispensary, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code OBSCURA when you check out to save $30 on your first order. Listener, do you know a feeling when a case is stuck in your mind and you can't stop thinking about every detail? Now, imagine that feeling 24/7, but instead of solving mysteries, your brain is stuck on thoughts you don't want to have. And it's feeling like you have to do something to make these unwanted thoughts go away. Like repeatedly checking on what you're worried about, constantly asking for some reassurance, or endlessly replaying the thought in your mind. OCD is a serious and highly misunderstood condition that causes people to get stuck in a cycle of stressful, unwanted thoughts and repetitive behaviors, which can become debilitating. These unwanted thoughts are called intrusive thoughts. They're usually disturbing, stressful, and feel totally out of character. They can be about anything, but often focus on people or things we care about, making them hard to ignore. People with OCD often try to relieve the anxiety from those thoughts with repetitive physical and mental behaviors called compulsions. Because there are so many misconceptions about OCD, a lot of people don't know they have it, feel shame about their symptoms, and suffer in silence. Plus, not every therapist understands OCD or is qualified to treat it effectively, which can make it difficult to find the right help. OCD is highly treatable with a specialized type of therapy called ERP, or exposure and response prevention. With NoCD, you can do live virtual ERP therapy with licensed therapists who specialize in ERP and OCD, so they truly understand what you're going through, even the symptoms that feel hard to talk about. NoCD makes this life-changing treatment affordable, enabling over 155 million Americans to access evidence-based treatment at NoCD covered by insurance. Between therapy sessions, you'll have NoCD's powerful in-app support. If you or someone you love is struggling with OCD, you're not alone. And with the right care, you can get better. To find out more about therapy with NoCD, go to NoCD.com and book a free 15-minute call with their team. That's NoCD.com to learn more and book a free call. The wind's kind of out of him, and he's just begging for us to stop. And we're all three of us standing there. And they were so surprised that he wasn't dead yet. They said he should have been dead already. And I said, I don't know. I've never done this before. I don't know what I'm doing. And then Tyler Noel said, I need to know that you're solid. I need to know that you aren't going to rat me out. Take this and put it into his neck. And so he told me to take this blue knife, go over to him, and put it right there into his neck. Tyler talked me through it. And then after that, I was shaking myself. Like, I did that. They could tell that they had me. They knew I was, cut up and shit. They also wanted to make sure I wasn't going to rat on them. And I felt like if I didn't do any of this, I would have been right there on the floor with him. The second I said, no, I'm not doing that. The second I said, I'm not going to do that, or said this or that, I'm just gonna go. Morningstar broke down into tears and sobbed to the investigators. I promise, I swear, I thought they would kill me too if I didn't. They hated him. And if any of his family is gonna see this, just know I am 100% sorry. And investigators asked Morningstar how he was acting and talking during the attack, and he replied, acting tough. The investigators replied, you were acting? Morningstar said, I was showing off for the girl, but I hated every minute of it. Later, Morningstar was asked what would have happened if he had not gone along with their plans, and Morningstar said, I think Noelle wouldn't have let me leave the house either. The three went upstairs, leaving Bailey in the basement. They were in Shepard's room on the third level, although Morningstar could not recall what they were doing there. Sometime later, Noelle ordered Morningstar to go to the basement to check on Bailey, to make sure he was actually dead. Morningstar did as he was told and saw that Bailey was still alive. Morningstar left the basement, doing nothing to or for Bailey. He returned to the bedroom. Morningstar told investigators, after 5 minutes, we realized he wasn't dead yet. He wasn't dead. So why are we all just sitting up here acting like nothing just happened? That's what I remember saying. I remember saying, we didn't kill him, guys, so he very well could have mustered up the strength to move. I knew because, I'm pretty sure that's when they sent me down to the basement. They wanted me to finish him off, and I just told them I was sorry that I couldn't help them. Morningstar said that he had moved from where they left him in a box to over by the water tank, and when he had made it halfway down the stairs, he shouted at Bailey to not fucking move. Then Bailey said, Devin, please, help me, please. Morningstar replied, look, man, I can't. I don't know what to do here. I'd be right there on the floor next to you the second I try to help. He went back to Shepard's room. The investigators asked him, you go back up? Morningstar replied, yeah. I told him I'm sorry, and I can't help him, and I'm too scared to help him. And then I went back up because I felt like they set me off, and Tyler had sent me down there in the first place so he could be with Missy alone, so I got back up to them as quickly as I could, and that was the big thing. Me and Tyler, neither one of us wanted to leave Missy's side, but we had a body to watch kind of thing, so we're sitting up there in the room with her, and he just kept yelling at me to go and finish him off, and make sure that he was still down there. And I said, why don't you? I can't fucking do it. I'm not cut out for this shit. You're the big killer. You're the big tough guy. Go and do it. Noel went downstairs, and as he was on his way down, he yelled at Morningstar and Shepard to come look. Bailey had made it from the basement, up the stairs, through the kitchen, through the living room, and had his hand on the back door. Even after being beaten and stabbed approximately 100 times. Morningstar stated that Noel grabbed Bailey, threw him to the living room floor, and started smashing the butt of the rifle into Bailey's face. Morningstar said Noel started stabbing Bailey again and inflicted another 50 to 100 wounds on Bailey. According to Morningstar, Noel said, he's done this time. I got him in the main jug there. I cut his main jug on his leg and his ankle here. Or, he's done his time. He's done this time. He is done this time. Bailey had put himself on the couch at this point and left a huge blood stain on the couch. Noel had stabbed him hard enough while on the couch that Bailey rolled into the floor. Morningstar was on the stairs, halfway up, watching the scene unfold below him. He said that he could see how white Bailey was, and that he remembered Shepard was in the room with Noel and Bailey, because Shepard commented that Bailey was about to die because he had just released his bowels. Morningstar made other comments about Bailey and his condition. These statements were, the kid was a trooper. He managed to make his way all the way up the stairs, and then slowly, in the living room, he put himself on that couch. Morningstar also said that he crawled at this point. He was speechless. He couldn't get anything out. The only thing he kept saying was, I love you, Missy. I can't believe you did this. I love you, Missy. He also said that this guy is a strong man. Morningstar assisted with cleanup by carrying boxes out of Shepard's personal belongings outside. While he was doing that, Shepard and Noel were lighting fires inside the townhouse. Incidentally, Shepard's townhouse was the middle unit in a triple X. Either end unit was occupied by mothers with small children, who were home at the time of the murder and subsequent fire. Morningstar told the RCMP that they had not told him they were going to burn the house. He only had one box outside and had gone back inside when he realized what they were doing, and he started yelling at them. He grabbed another box and went outside and started yelling, why the fuck did you light it up when I don't have all this shit out yet? He said they were, quote, freaking out on him for not having certain things, like he left the knives in there, hanging in a black bag. Morningstar called a friend to come pick him up. And that's it for this episode, listener. Tune in next week for part two, or if you're a Patreon user, you'll get it sooner. Thank you for listening, and keep the fire burning.